Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. As I mentioned a moment ago, Building the Bakken is part of the Crude Life Media Network, and we're not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about facts of the energy industry. Here at the Crude Life Media Network, we generate positive energy. With programs like Building the Bakken, we are able to tell the stories of the people, the communities, and the companies within the industry, those who are involved in the evolution of the Bakken oil field and shale play USA. On today's episode of Building the Bakken, we talk with Edward Martinez, CEO of Zia Engineering. Zia Engineering is one of the companies behind the Davis Refinery, the cleanest refinery on the planet, coming to Belfield, North Dakota. And I'll tell you what, there was an event last week, a little meet and greet in Belfield, North Dakota. Quite a few people showed up, somewhere between 50 and 100, and they wanted to know more about the Davis Refinery and when the permit to construct will be issued. And of course, our social media pages, we always seem to have a little bit of a town hall going about when the Davis Refinery is going to get the permit to construct. Well, they just got through the air quality permit phase, the public comment phase. And you do remember when the 11,000 emails came in. Of course, 90-some percent of those were duplicates. They were just the form emails, the one that you copy-paste, hit return. And it looks like they hit that next milestone, got over a hurdle, took a step, whatever metaphor you want to do. And next week, we're going to have someone on to talk a little bit more about that public meeting they just had in Belfield, North Dakota last week regarding the Davis Refinery. I heard it was very much an informative meeting, so I'm going to have somebody from that meeting on next week. This week, we're going to have Edward Martinez, Zia Engineering. He's going to talk about some of the latest and greatest technology they're using, specifics they're going to be using in the Davis Refinery to keep the emissions down, to make sure it's got the lowest emissions. They're going to set records, global records. Of course, North Dakota is going to be on the global forefront of all that innovation. Exciting stuff happening out in Belfield, North Dakota, Dickinson, North Dakota. They're going to add people, they're going to add citizens, and they're going to add jobs. All right, then we're going to talk to Dan Jonasson. Speaking of cities, Minot, North Dakota, they've got some water management projects they're doing. Here's the best way to describe what happened in Minot, North Dakota. The oil boom hits, they add 10,000 people. The flood hits, they lose 4,000 structures. They added 10,000 people in 3 years, lost 4,000 structures in 3 weeks. We're going to talk to Dan Jonasson about that a little bit later in the program. Then Mark Davies, Vigor USA. We're going to talk frac plugs, a little composite material, what shale plays that Mark Davies and Vigor USA are in, and also how innovation has changed the workplace. Mark Davies, Vigor USA, a little later on in the second half of the program. And then we conclude the program with Mick Hager. This is a fantastic interview. In fact, folks, if you have a chance, go to our Facebook page, The Crude Life's Facebook page. We have a video up there of Mick Hager and her dogs, Canine Inspections. They are pipeline leak detection dogs. Now, it's a great interview with Mick. It's a great interview. She talks about how the training goes, how the proprietary solution that she has to detect the pipeline leaks, how the dogs are actually more accurate than the technology that's being added to the oil and gas fields right now, all the sensors and remote this and that. Well, these dogs have a better accuracy. But if you go to the video on our Facebook page, you get to see the dogs in action. And, you know, so here we are in audio format, which is a great format for this program. But we also have the video at our social media pages. So if you check that out, we got a quick 30-second video of just the dogs tracking down a pipeline leak in 3 feet of snow. So it's a great video. Mick Hager, a little later on in the program, and Canine Inspections. There we go. All right, my name is Jason Spies. Let's do this, folks. And you're listening to Building the Bakken Radio right here on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
When you get to know Eric, and he is so willing to share with you how growing up you know, his life was impacted by an outstanding mom and the challenges that he may be faced. When he's willing to open up and talk about those things, you're immediately drawn in. And that's that vulnerability that I think that he has said, he has publicly said, it's okay to be yourself. And it's okay for you to make mistakes along the way.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio Herd in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies and I'm your host today. Up next, we have Edward Martinez with Zia Engineering. But first, I want to give you just a quick little update before we get into our interview with Mr. Martinez about the Davis Refinery and what happened this week in Belfield, North Dakota. They had a little meet and greet. Many people showed up at the Belfield Theater. They wanted to know more about the Davis Refinery and when the permit to construct will be issued. Well, I'm going to get some more information and share that with you next week as they kind of go through some of the Department of Health red tape and get to that permit to construct, which my understanding and my sources tell me is closer than we all think, which is exciting. So just a little bit of a tease there in the future of the Davis Refinery. Good news coming out of Belfield, North Dakota, and it looked like a fantastic meeting. So we're going to have some more information for you next week on that as this all comes together here in the Bakken oil fields. But right now, Edward Martinez with Zia Engineering. What's the most cutting edge or what stands out to you the most in terms of technology that is environmentally sound?
In many instances, oftentimes the level of fugitive emissions from just all the various piping and plumbing throughout the plant is usually one of the greatest sources of emissions from the facility. That's, you know, the fugitive emissions coming from gaskets and elbows, et cetera, et cetera. And at a typical refinery, older refinery, those emissions can literally add up to hundreds and hundreds of tons per year of specifically volatile organic contaminants, VOC emissions, from the facility. We're looking at implementing a very aggressive leak detection control program, and we're building in the controls in the design and construction of the facility, so we're not trying to retrofit things in after the fact. And so both from the standpoint of the initial design as well as the implementation of this very aggressive program that'll use, you know, optical technology, automated leak detection systems, etc.
And that was Edward Martinez with Zia Engineering. To listen to the full-length interview or to check out other energy features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those social media links can be found at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies. This is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Calendars for June 15th. That's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th. The Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota.
You're my pineapple, baby, let me be your mango man. You're my pineapple, baby, let me be your mango man.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Mark Davies with Vigor USA.
Mark Davies with Vigor USA in Houston, Texas.
Vigor USA out of Houston, Texas. First off, what is it that you guys do?
Jason, what we do is we specialize in composite frac plugs, ranges from 4.5 inch to 5.5 inch. As well as perforating guns.
Okay, and you know something like that becomes a little bit technical to the average person. Is there any way that people can, I guess, explain in a very mundane, basic way, you know, some of these complex engineering things that, quite honestly, you almost need to see to believe? Or have you guys got that perfected yet? Because, boy, I tell you, that's a tough go sometimes.
Well, the frac plug, what they do is, you know, It's all an integral part of the actual fracking process during the completion of the well. So run the frac plug downhole, they're spaced at different intervals, the zones are pressured up with the particular plugs, and the zones are fracked. The plugs are used to hold pressure between the different zones, and then once the zones have been fracked, the wireline crew is on location, goes down the hole, and drills out the frac plug. And it's just, with a composite material, they drill out a lot quicker and a lot faster than your typical iron-based frac plugs.
Well, that was my next question, which was what it's made out of, and has there been an evolution in terms of technology when it comes to these different frac plugs. You mentioned the word composite several times, so that kind of answered part of my question, but explain further. You know, you mentioned kind of there's new technology coming in to replace some of the older technology, which would be iron, is what I got out of that. So explain a little bit, you know, the material behind that.
Yes, sir. A lot of the material, it's a composite material. Some might compare it to like a fiberglass where it can be woven. It can be a molded, or it can be a woven composite material that is used to manufacture these particular frac plugs. With them as well, there's very few companies nowadays that don't actually use any metal in the actual frac plug. A lot of companies call themselves composite frac plug companies, but there's very few that are 100% metal free. And, you know, the industry's really changed from going to these composite buttons and starting to move away from using the iron inserts or the steel inserts on the frac slips.
Are any of these things becoming smart nowadays? You know, I mean, it seems like everything has a sensor in it or some kind of microchip. Have you guys gotten to the point where frac plugs are, you know, making your coffee for you?
No, sir. Not as of yet. They haven't gotten to that point yet.
Okay, well, maybe down the line, then who knows? You mentioned the wireline crew and a few of these other crews. Talk to me a little bit about all the different, you know, people that are involved with this. You know, that you run into on a day-to-day basis. One of the things we like to talk about is the energy economy that really happens through the oil and gas industry. You know, everything from the oil companies all the way down to the cafe workers. You know, quite honestly, and you know what I mean by that. So, what other, you know, talk to me about who your potential customers are, and also who some of your colleagues would be that, you know, that you would work with. Talk to me a little bit about that ecosystem that you have.
Sure. I mean, just to kind of go over, the people that, you know, the oil and gas feed, you know, on a typical job. We were on a job last week out in West Texas, where, you know, they had a catering company out there that was feeding all the crews. You had the frac crews out there. You had the pumping crews. You had the wire line. You had the, you know, the oil and gas services company, as well as the oil and gas exploration and production crews. You know, you might have 50 or 60 people at a time out on location. So, and you had everybody from the caterers up to the completions group. So you have such a wide range of people on location. And, you know, it's a long chain of people at this oil and that the oil and gas industry employs.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? How about some of your customers? Who would be your exact customer? Would it be the oil and gas companies, or would it be someone in the middle on the midstream way?
Typically, we like to supply to a lot of the oil and gas service companies. There are several oil and gas companies where we will sell directly to. But we do specialize in selling to the oil and gas service companies ourselves.
And what shale plays are you in? You mentioned West Texas. Is that typically where all your...
We're currently in the Delaware Basin, out in West Texas. We're down in South Texas in the Eagle Ford. We're also in the Mid-Continent, you know, around the DJ Basin. And also we're starting to get back into the Northeast as well, looking at the Utica.
Oh, you're looking at the Utica. Huh? How about the Haynesville? Any activity there?
We're seeing a little bit of play. With the Haynesville, it tends to get the temperature downhole as well as pressure tend to play a lot with these composite frac plugs. And, you know, your typical composite frac plug can take temperatures of basically 300 degrees. You know, they go up to about 10,000 PSI. So you're starting to get to the limited ranges of the plugs when you start talking about the deeper Haynesville over in North Louisiana.
Okay, and that was the next question I was going to have for you is so many of these different shale plays are so specific. You know, I mean, you go up to the Bakken, you're a couple miles below. It's pretty easy to frack. It's a rock type thing. You go to the Tuscaloosa, for example, and that's a little bit more clay, a little more muddy. So you're looking at some different science that's needed there. Do your frack plugs, are they... They do have some limits, is what I'm hearing. Once you get down to a certain point, the temperatures, is there a certain shale plays that you guys just can't really get to with these frac plugs?
No, sir. As of right now, from where we've run them, we haven't run in any particular zones where we haven't been able to run them. I would probably imagine that you could not run them in a geothermal situation. That would probably be, you know, the outer limits of any kind of, man-made plug. But as of right now, you know, there's several companies that can handle, you know, temperatures of about 350 degrees as far as the upper limits of their plugs.
With these frac plugs, talk to me about a little how it reacts with the sand and the chemicals and that sort of thing. I know the sand is different in all these different plays too, you know, depending on how spherical it is and all these other things, but does that really matter much, or is it pretty much resistant or plays well with all different chemistry sets that are going on at each well site?
Yeah, you're gonna run these plugs downhole before you pump any kind of sand downhole, and you're gonna set the plugs. So the plugs is gonna be like a cork in your wine bottle.
To listen to the full-length interview with Mark Davies with Vigor USA or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Because I'm back to the way.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
All we need is four wheels, a full gas tank, and a few miles left. All the lonesome souls go. Who wrote their songs of living? And now it's our souls left. For the giving, we already know how it's done. Let's put our lives on hold and run, dodging the clouds.
past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
One of our programs was where we asked Eric Hatch to come in and speak to this group, and it ended up being a group of about 90 emerging leaders, and talk to them about leadership lessons. And Eric just did a phenomenal job of reaching out and talking about leadership from a very personal perspective. He is one of our best leaders in the community, talking about being vulnerable and what that has meant to him in his leadership journey.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
June 15th, that's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue, coming to Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Dan Jonasson with the Souris River Joint Board.
After the 2011 flood, actually the State Water Commission and the Souris River Joint Water Board and the City of Minot worked together to come up with a preliminary engineering report, or a report to base long-term flood protection off of. That was headed up by Barr Engineering and Ackerman Esfold. Like I said, they took a look at what would need to be built to protect not only the city of Minot, but the entire basin from an event that we saw in 2011. The typical flows through the Mouse River Valley, the 100-year flood event, is 5,000 CFS. In 2011, we saw 27,400 CFS, or cubic feet per second, coming through at the peak. So it was a huge event, something that's never been seen before. And with that, it triggered the need for, a higher level of flood protection through the Mouse River or Souris River Basin. So that report was completed in about February of 2012, and since then we have been working to implement that plan. It's broken up into a lot of different phases because it's a very complex, very expensive plan, over $1 billion is the estimate to implement it. So the Souris River Joint Board has tried to tackle it, a piece at a time, as funding is available. They've gone through, we've done an environmental impact statement for the reaches from Burlington to the east side of Minot. We've received a record decision and approval on that. They've done the design for the first three of about 14 different phases in Minot. That work is starting next week, in fact. About $79 million worth of flood control that will be kicking off in the city of Minot. But aside from that, there's been a lot of other work done, some stormwater improvements in what we call our Perkett Ditch area that will, enhance the flood protection and help protect us on the dry side from flooding on that side. And there was some work done through FEMA, Hazard hazard mitigation project around our water treatment plant, about a $30 million project to protect that because our water treatment plant sits right beside the river. In addition to that, like I said, there's been a lot going on. We're working with the Corps of Engineers on a feasibility study to try to gain a federal interest and some federal dollars into one of the phases. We call it Phase 4, or the Maple Diversion Project, through Minot. That's set to be wrapped up hopefully the end of this year or early 2019, and it appears that there is an interest, a positive benefit-cost ratio, I should say, over one, to garner interest from the Corps of Engineers to try to get some federal funding for that portion of the project. In addition, the Joint Board's also been working on items in the rural areas. The STAR program, which is a structure acquisition, ring dike, and relocation program to help some of the rural residents and some of the farmers in the area relocate some of their structures that were flooded out of the floodplain. And, like I said, lots of stuff going on. It's been a long time, you know, almost 7 years this summer now since the flood, but there's been a lot of activity. Seems like there's always something new going on, and as funding is available, we continue to try advance the Mouse River Enhanced Flood Protection Project through the basin.
And Dan Jonasson with us here. As you talked about the funding, I wanted to ask you about that next, actually. My understanding is there's really no federal dollars outside of some FEMA money that came in for buyouts, as far as that's already done with and provided by the feds. So everything going forward is either state or local. So what type of, if that's true, let me know that. And then also, what is the current funding mechanism that is set up right now for this project?
Like you said, the water plant project, or there was a hazard mitigation project around there, that was funded from FEMA, North Dakota Department of Emergency Services, and the city of Minot. Like I said, about a $30 million project. We had an 85% state and federal cost share on that project. The Maple Diversion project that we're working with the Corps of Engineers on, that is where we're trying to leverage federal dollars. We haven't received any yet, but it looks very positive that there will be an interest from the Corps of Engineers.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Dan Jonasson with the Souris River Joint Board.
Funding program for that portion of the project. We're hoping to leverage somewhere in the neighborhoods of $50 to $60 million in federal funds towards that project. To date, all of the property acquisitions that we've done in the city of Minot have been funded with State Water Commission dollars, and then some CDBG federal dollars and National Disaster Resiliency dollars that we were successful in winning. And then Minot has committed a half-cent sales tax towards the local cost share of the project, so that funding has also been used to advance the project and keep it forward. So most of the funding that we've seen for the project has been basically the State Water Commission on a 60 to 65% cost share, and then a local cost share from sales tax dollars on the city of Minot. Currently, we have protection through the valley, through Minot and Burlington, to 5,000 cubic feet per second. That's our current 100-year flows. With this remapping, our new flows go from 5,000 to 10,000 cubic feet per second. So that impacts, just in Minot itself, about 3,200 properties that are going to be seeing these increased flood insurance rates. And, you know, they're projected, some of them, of course, it's based on the depth of inundation now, but people could see some of their rates when they're fully actuarial, go from $350 a year to $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a year. And the people that are going to see this impact are the ones that were flooded in 2011. So they're probably carrying a second, if not a third, mortgage on their house from rebuilding. And now they're going to be hit with this financial, additional financial burden.
And that was Dan Jonasson with the Souris River Joint Board. To listen to that feature or other energy features, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Well, I was born your harvest moon. I wasn't too late and I wasn't too soon. Yes, I was born on the first day of my I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
One of our programs was where we asked Eric Hatch to come in and speak to this group, and it ended up being a group of about 90 emerging leaders, and talk to them about leadership lessons. And Eric just did a phenomenal job of reaching out and talking about leadership from a very personal perspective. He is one of our best leaders in the community, talking about being vulnerable and what that has meant to him in his leadership journey.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com, or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Mick Hager with Canine Inspections, about canine technology and leak detection.
Canine pipe inspection. Boy, that is kind of an old school way to get leaks nowadays, but I love it. I think it's one of the more exciting things about oil and gas. So talk to me a little bit about just your current state of business. You know, everybody's talking about pipeline monitors and all these other things. So when I saw what you were doing, I thought, oh, I've got to get Mick on the air to talk about what she's doing. What a fantastic little side niche area for the oil and gas industry, and I imagine other things too. But talk a little bit about just your current state of business. Do you mind doing that? Or?
Sure. What we do is we have our canine on hand. It's more of a simple solution for a complex problem. Oftentimes, we are the ones that get called after technology fail, so to speak, the leak isn't found, and companies are looking for other solutions. We have a minimum of 2 dogs that go on a job, and we have a proprietary odorant. That odorant is injected in the lines, which means we're versatile. We can be, our canine teams can be used on oil or gas pipelines. We're also great at finding illegal packs. These dogs are really great at pinpointing leaks and finding small cracks also.
Well, I think the whole canine thing is absolutely remarkable. I mean, I've done stories before on canines for finding bombs as well as money in the backyard. People have hired canines to train them to go smell money, and they think some long-lost relative buried. I mean, it's amazing the different things that the canines can do. Are you schooled at all? Are you versed at all to talk about the accuracy and the just sheer amazement that a canine has when it comes to scents? Are you able to talk about that?
It's actually very surprising that canines aren't used more in this field. Their accuracy and ability it far exceeds any technology. You have technology that usually can find things at parts per million. These dogs are known to go well beyond parts per billion and even a molecular level. Their absolute accuracy, to actually see these dogs work live, is really amazing because they have been known to find pinhole leaks, cracks, the kind of thing that you wouldn't even expect them to find, and they can go down to the deepest depths of any existing pipeline.
Now, I don't know if it's just because I am a former bloodhound owner, had one for a number of years, and he passed away 2 years ago, and I think this is the first year where I feel like I'm able to actually have another dog now after my passing of my bloodhound. And he really gave me a whole new identity in terms of what they can bloodhounds bring. I also had a German Shepherd, and so just the two of those dogs opened my eyes to really just their amazing skills. They're absolutely amazing skills. And, I often joke that, you know, humans, the intelligent race. Well, I don't know so much about that when I get around some of those dogs. But how do oil companies react when you pitch them or you talk to them about this type of technology? Because really, it's a human, or it's a animal technology, I guess.
There is hesitancy because it isn't quantifiable. You can't show how you calibrate a dog. But you can do demonstrations, and that's probably the biggest sell point, is to have someone actually see it in action. It's almost immediate believers once they actually see it. But I can't show a piece of paper with numbers. I have to actually show the real-life action, and that's what makes it truly remarkable and believable when you see what these dogs can do.
Has the world of social media and email and internet and everything like that, has that been pretty beneficial for you in terms of sending maybe like a video of the dogs in action or something along those lines? Or do they still need to see it firsthand and actually touch the dog and be around it? More of a tangible type of a thing as opposed to an electronic, you know, tool, I guess.
What makes the strongest impression, because everyone's going to go to what they naturally believe in. And when these oil and gas industries have used technology for so long, to switch to something new, that feels like a risk. Although videos and photos are great, actually seeing it in action is what makes true believers in this. But I do make a point of posting as many videos as possible to just show and document what these dogs are capable of.
To listen to the full-length interview with Mick Hager with Canine Inspections, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
it holds the power of the hour. And the light switch turns your tongue sour. There's no way to explain how this got that way. It's the same reason the sky's blue. When you believe in two and there's only you, cuddle in with a blanket. There's a certain thing that I hear ringing that you got your mind. Something that's never been shown. Your mind blown, your mind blown, and that's all you need to know.
And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
To get your mind blown.
Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
I just thought that his story about how he talks about the struggles that he and his family went through and having children, and how, you know, everybody has a hot mess, and how do you deal with that in life? And I just thought that really resonates well with, you know, folks. And so I thought that would be a great message for everybody to hear. Well, then beyond that, I've also seen Eric do some of the other things that he does with emceeing and leading other types of things that he does. He does coaching, I know, with students where the principals have hired him to come in and do that. So I just extended that opportunity for him to be the MC too. He was very well received.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota.